Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Bikaji Foods International Limited Q4 and FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will remain in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Ambesh Tiwari from S-Ancial Technologies Private Limited for opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining the Bikaji Foods International Q4 FY26 earnings conference call. From the management team, we have with us Mr. Rishabh Jain, CFO, and Mr. Manoj Verma, COO. I now request Mr. Rishabh Jain to take us through the key opening remarks, after which we will have the floor open for question and answer session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hello. Thank you all for joining in this call of Bikaji Foods International Limited. Before starting this, one thing which we recently lost a chairman on 23rd of April. This was a great loss for the company as well as for the family. He was a great visionary and a bold leader and was an influential figure for the company as well as complete Bikaji. All this FM thanks fraternity. Now I can start. So largely, this quarter has been a great quarter from many perspectives. The top line, their top line growth was close to 18% plus. And in top line also, our core market has been grown at upward of 15%. This is last many quarters. It was growing at 10% to 12%, but yeah, in this quarter, it has grown at good growth. Export has been doing very well from last four, five quarters. Family pack, which is our key, and for this, we also started two campaigns, which are also Bikaji after September and Kya Baat Hai Ji. So family pack has grown up to 20%. E-com, Q-com has now become 3% of overall business, which is significant, and growth has grown over close to 100%. And that's the target what we're taking for next this year also. From campaign perspective, of course, these two campaigns, this year has been two halves, where in first half, 6 months, our core Namkeen snacks growth was slow. But after this GST reduction from government and the two campaigns what we started, last 6 months, our momentum in overall snacks category, snacking, has been very significant and grown at a good growth. And that's what we want to continue for this year. From bottom line perspective, largely from consolidated, financials, our gross margin is at 35.6%. This also includes PLI, but yeah, overall, there's a 240 basis point year on year because PLI was included last year also. From EBITDA perspective, EBITDA is close to 12.2%. So lastly, in this quarter, we started two campaigns end of last quarter, mid of last quarter largely. We continued the same campaign this year also, and our ad cost is increased this quarter compared to last year to tune of 1.2%. And from EBITDA overall, we closed close to 88 crore rupees of EBITDA with PAT margin of close to 8%. Overall, from year perspective, so largely our overall yearly revenue from operation is close to 294 crore rupees at 9.5% volume growth. In last quarter, our volume growth was upward of 15%, which was highest in many quarters. Overall, GM at a full year level is 35.1%. And then EBITDA margin is 13.7%, upward of 120 basis points compared to last year. From capacity perspective, so largely we not added much capacity last year, but yeah, this year BADF have planned to increase the capacity in sweets, which is going on. From distribution perspective, I request Manoj sir to.
Yeah, thanks, Rishabh. So one of the key growth drivers, what we had called out, was the continuous increase of footprint, which is distribution. So we delivered the target what we had taken for ourselves was to cross 3.5 lakh outlets, which is what team has done. And this increase has come across all our core focus in other geographies. These campaigns, what Rishabh just spoke about, did extremely well, and that was one of the reasons for our higher growth. In the large pack. The large pack has outperformed and these marketing campaigns have worked very well. From core geography standpoint, Bhuji also, Bikaji was a major and a great success, and you know, and the number speaks louder than what you know, I would say. It is that if one is to look H1 versus H2, so there is a multiple growth in that stuff. And in UP, we did the campaign Kya Baat Hai Ji, while looping in Pankaj Tripathi in that, this campaign also did very well for us. And that's what is the reason that if we look at quarter four, so our family pack has grown at 20%, while Impulse grew at 14%. So there's certainly room of improvement on Impulse, but family pack outperformed this.
From key initiative perspective, this year also has been very significant for us as we have gone SAP Go Live this year in December. We have also gone Darwin Box Go Live. There was new logo launch in January this year. We completely changed our packaging, revamped our complete packaging, changed logo. Our investment in the Hazelnut Factory last year. So this year has been very good for the brand. They crossed 100 crore revenue this year and target is to grow 50-60% year on year for next 2-3 years. Our annual report has been ranked 42nd in American Communication Professionals. And from export perspective also, we crossed 100 crore first time this year. From revenue from operation perspective, in quarter four, we crossed close to 720 crore rupees of revenue with a bit of 88 crore rupees and PAT of 56 crore rupees. From working capital perspective, our working capital cycle is largely same compared to last year. Largely same, there is not much increase in working capital cycle. From raw material perspective, it was started in 7 March. We have seen a significant increase in our packing material and edible oils, largely. Edible oils increased to tune of close to 12-13%, 14% in fact, and packaging material has increased to tune of close to 25-30%. But overall, we have taken a price rise in April this year, and which will suffice largely for the current price hike what we've seen in raw material and packing material. So we'll see how this war goes, and we need to take either another price rise or not. But yeah, as of now, we have taken a price rise which will manage our overall gross margin and cost and EBITDA. Thank you very much. We are happy to take all the questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use their handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Avnish Roy from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks and congrats on good performance. My question was, now Q1 almost 50 days are gone. So are you seeing a good momentum continue in Q1 also based on the sales and volume trajectory in Q4? Any divergence you are seeing in Q1?
Hi Abhish. Momentum what we are seeing is it's a continued momentum. So post November, the way or the trajectory we are on, this continues. This also is the outcome of the kind of investments, you know, in demand generation what we have done thus far, and is giving us and keeping us on the same trajectory. So in spite of certain price being passed to the consumer, yet we haven't seen any slowdown in terms of the demand.
Also, we've seen two turbulence in this last 50 days. One largely Bengal election, and our factory, most of the labor are Bengali. So largely some of the labors have moved to Bengal for elections and all. And we've seen some production loss, but the overall momentum seems very strong. And of course, our chairman lost, so the factory was shut for two and a half, three days. That was also, but overall, the momentum side, what we are seeing good momentum.
So just to get clarification on these two points, 2.5 days factory shut, and Bengal, the workforce had gone, did it lead to sales loss also, or you had e-client? So in terms of sales, there is no impact. Could you clarify on that?
Yeah, so the demand we were talking of, you know, that's where you started off, so there's no issue in demand, well, very well created and that's on. But yes, from supply end, yes, there were some disruptions because ours is not a phasing wherein that, you know, most of the billing happens in last few days. It's a daily progression, you know, a very seamless day on day what we do, right? We have been talking in our earlier calls as well that we work on 2 days these kind of customer, even less than 2 days. So the production, you know, in fact, has certainly resulted in some sales. You know, the quarter could have been even better, but yet overall, if you look at this quarter, will be well in line for what we said.
And the Bengal workforce impact that will come in Q1, right?
Q1, yeah. So this Bengal election first phase was on 23rd of April. So these people, and after SIR and all that stuff, I mean, so people were, there were no choice to hold them, or no way one could have hold them. And so majority of them went on leave. And so from 20th of April till, say, 10th of May, I mean, these people started coming back. There was disruption of the manpower problem in that stuff. But we managed it somehow.
So just to close this point, 2.5 days because of the loss which had happened, unfortunate, plus the election related. So can we say around 4 days of impact overall?
Yes.
Second question is on the inflation. You said palm oil and edible oil inflation is around, say, 13-14%. I wanted to understand packaging inflation because it's linked to the crude oil, and crude oil inflation is much more than the 24-25% which you mentioned. So if you could clarify on that. And have you taken a shrinkflation, so a grammage cut, or in the larger pack it's more of a price hike? So if you could clarify on those two.
Yeah. So from packaging actual inflation, we have seen that the average like packing material cost was close to 190-200 rupees, has gone up to 260-270. But it has again came down to 20-25. So it's not on high side as of now. It's manageable. So, but yeah, overall, what we've done, we have increased price in our family pack and we have reduced grammage in impulse. That's what we can do largely in impulse.
Understood. Okay, that's
what. Overall, the price rise was close to 3%, which is actually manageable, which can manage this increased RM and PM price.
Okay, thank you. That's all for my time.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Siddhesh Deshmukh from IIFL Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Percy Panthaki here. Sir, what is the quantum of price hikes that you have taken?
Yeah, so the price hike was close to 3%.
And do you think you will have to take more given where the commodity costs are currently?
Currently, as of now, this is manageable for us. We can manage the same VM largely at this current increase what we've taken. We had good amount of packing material orders which we have logged, and what we see that this PM prices came down from the price rise, what we've seen in early days of war, but it has came down significantly. So it's manageable.
Okay. Secondly, wanted to ask, if I look at your EBITDA margins first half of the year versus second half, there is a sort of lower second half margin versus first half. So is this something normal seasonality, or is there some other reason behind that?
So largely, our major ad cost which comes in during festivity and festivity. So normally in every year, our major ad cost comes from August to December. But this year, we have continued two campaigns in the fourth quarter also. So fourth quarter ad cost was little significant, higher compared to last year's quarter. But overall, the ad cost was close to 2%, which was last year 1.6% on yearly basis.
Okay. But like, 40 basis points YOY, I understand, and YOY the margins are not a problem. But I was looking at more versus the first half margins are close to like 13.5-14%, and the second half margins are like close to 11%. So I was trying to understand that, because the movement is like 280 basis points between first half and second half. So is the ad spend the explanation theory, or is there some other reason?
So majorly ad spend. And there was 50 basis points, provision for doubtful debt which we taken last quarter in fact, which was one time.
Okay, understood. And can you just tell me what is the ad spend as a percentage of sales in 3Q and 4Q?
So 3Q and 4Q ad cost was close to average 3.2-3.3%.
Okay, and in first half it was like 1% or something, is it?
1%.
Hello?
Yeah, 1%.
Oh, got it, got it. Secondly, sir, just wanted to understand this difference between console growth of 19% and standalone growth of 15%. So, is there any organic, inorganic remaining now, or is just that the subsidiaries are growing at like 70-80%, which is giving this kind of growth?
So, from console to standalone, largely we have Bikaji USA, which is a core ethnic snacks business, which is doing good. We have Ariba Foods, which works for us for frozen segment, and of course, this THF. THF is growing on very well. This year they've grown at close to 130% to cross 100 crore rupees. So retail division is going on very well. So the difference between ethnic snacks and overall is close to 2.2%, which is THF retail.
Understood, understood. So there is no sort of inorganic portion this year on a YOY basis, right? Everything is annualized.
Yes, yes, yes.
Got it, sir. Got it. That's all from me. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Darshit Vora from Asset C Mehta Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. Thanks and congrats on a good set of numbers. Just wanted to firstly understand if you could quantify the CapEx amount that you alluded in your opening remarks.
What amount?
CapEx amount.
So CapEx largely what we'll be doing, there's two CapEx. One, there's the factory which is coming in Bikaner. And so this year we'll be doing close to 100 crore rupees of capex. That's the plan. Close to less than or close to 100 crore rupees capex.
And there is
big warehouse which is came in. The capex has been done. It will came installed in, I think, in next 15-20 days. So that will suffice. That will solve sort of supply chain problem.
All right. And secondly, just wanted to get a sense on the Western snacks portfolio. So this quarter we saw about an 8% kind of increase year on year. If you look at the entire year also, we've seen a kind of 7% kind of a YOY increase. So how do we see this moving forward in terms of
growth? Yeah. So generally, if you look at, just from Western snacks holistically, if we look at the quarter four has been a 16% volume growth, wherein the ethnic snacks is in line with overall volume growth, which is 16.1 value growth. Packaged cheese did well. Western snacks, one of course, now the 5 rupee pack, as I spoke in my earlier statement as well, that the trajectory what moved was more on the family pack, and the family pack is more on the ethnic side. So perhaps that's what could have been better. And to your question that going forward, if you look at the quarter three, where it was 25% growth in Western snacks itself. So we will get back to that stuff, and Western snacks will grow 20% plus if you look at it.
Okay.
The analyzed level, first half and second half, was a key major contrast in terms of growth across categories. And even here, if we look at ethnic snacks, is at 11% in that stuff. And while Western snacks was better off, but then because of this poor quarter four, this has come down in this one. But going forward, this will fall in place.
Okay. And are we taking into consideration the grammage card impact? Despite that, will be seeing that 20% kind of a growth?
I think that's now a new normal in terms of as the inflation comes in, grammage starts coming down. And as there's deflation or there's the cooling of commodity prices, companies do pass it back to the consumer. which is what we saw that during this GST changes. So most of the companies and so did we pass back these extra grammages to the consumer, which now again with post-war after effect maybe we will cut down, but this will keep going and coming. We don't see much of a difference in that stuff. One thing I want to know, bring it to the table, that overall if you look at the Western snacks growth in the last quarter for the category has also not been very bright in that stuff. So relatively if you look at 8.5% growth, while it certainly we could have done better and we know that what is that now we have to press on. But overall Western snacks was also on a little slowdown.
All right. That will be all. Thanks so much and all the best.
Thank you.
We take the next question from the line of Ronak Shah from Xperia Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is, am I audible?
Yes, Ronak. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So my first question is regarding the core versus focus market. So ideally, the long-term aspiration of the business is to grow the focus market at least by 1.3 to 1.5 times. However, if we see the fourth quarter or FY26 as a whole, the growth rates are not that different. So what is holding us back from getting those sort of growth rates into the focus market?
So if we look at it in terms of the growth of focus markets, vis-a-vis category is over-indexed in that sense, which means Bikaji's performance of whatever we are doing now is ahead of category. However, to your question and to what we intend to do is of our 1.5x growth system. So there have been certain challenges, there have been, which keep coming and we keep addressing. So like I just spoke about, that UP, one of the large focus markets, we made those investments and results started coming in. So going forward, what we see and what we have been saying would continue, that the focus state has to grow faster. This core state did extremely well in quarter four. It is on the back of like the mega campaign what we did, Bhujia, and the biggest consumption happens in these four states as well, and Bhujia outperformed. And that's what helps these four states over-deliver. In fact, going forward, if one was to give some guidance for next year, so 15% growth would not be sustainable. What we look at it is, that's about 13 plus minus kind of a growth we look at from core states, and from focus states would be upwards of 20% only.
Understood. And when we see the EBITDA margin profile ex of your PLI benefit, in FY27, considering the price hikes plus the inflationary trajectory which we are sensing, how we are expecting the margins to flow in? On top of that, we are having a higher focus on ENT as well. So overall, how you are sensing your FY27 EBITDA margin?
So from our perspective, our ad budget this year will be close to 2%, which is same from last year. So we are not increasing our ad budget, number one. Number two, from EBITDA lens, we have taken one price rise in April, but we have seen the price increase of raw material packing materials. So that will suffice overall cost pressure what we have got largely. So from that perspective, gross margin, the target of gross margin at controller should be really same for us. We need to maintain the gross margin this year. That's important. That's challenging also because that's a very frustrating year. As of now, started with a very frustrating year where we're seeing daily fluctuation in edible oil as well as raw material depending on how war reacts. But yeah, overall our target is to be at to maintain same gross margin and that. And if EBITDA lens largely, so if we maintain the same gross margin, EBITDA will improve. Because there will be a lot of fixed costs which will be fixed and there will be a lot of production from outside Dukane, which is CMU, will also increase. So there will be a lot of operational efficiency which will come in this year.
Understood. And lastly, on the retail business front, so we are seeing very good traction over there. So over a period, how we are thinking to open the newer stores? On top of that, how the overall optics and all are looking like?
So from retail lens, largely our major focus investment was on THF last year, and THF is doing extremely well. They have close to 19-20 stores, intended to open 8-10 stores every year for next 3 years. next 3 years, and to grow a business at 50-55% top line growth. That's the target. And that's the best part, they're profitable. So that's they're not EBITDA dilutive. That's important for us. And at the same speed, they want to grow for next 2 years. So from Bikaji lens also, we opened two outlets will open in next 6 months, and we'll see how we grow our own retail business.
Understood. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Abhishek Mathur from Systematix. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi, team. Thank you for the opportunity. Just wanted to check, out of our direct reach of about 3.5 lakh outlets, what would be the split in terms of how much is in focus markets, how much is in core, etc.? And also, if you can, so we have a target of about 5 lakh in 3 years, about 50,000 per annum. Of that 5 lakh, what is our target split in terms of how much would be in focus and core and the others?
Yeah, so currently if you look at our 3.5 lakh outlets, so about 120,000 outlets is in four states. So here the distribution is more led to the wholesalers. So whereas if you look at indirect reach, it's about 8.2 lakh. Coming on to focus states, so we cover about 1.7 lakh outlets in the focus states, and here our indirect reach, I mean, so the wholesale channel, the other stuff, our overall reach here is 3.5 lakh outlets. And in the other states, we cover about 60,000 outlets. This all adds up to 3.5 lakh outlets. Going forward, the increase is to come from the core as well, because that's where now we are going down top strata. Instead of keeping our dependence on wholesaler, we are trying and we are getting in directly there so as to sell range, so as to establish NPDs and the stock weight in the store. So that's what will help us drive same store growth in core space, whereas the key driver would be distribution reach in the focus space. So that's where the majority of the new stores would come in.
Right, so if I hear you correctly, the delta of 150,000 in the next 3 years, most of it will come from the focus, will be in the focus state, is that right?
Right, so this would be from core and focus state. Other states would be incidental because that's where we do not have as much priority in general trade. So there we do need-based kind of a stuff. So the other state sales is driven by the growth. What we take pride on is on the basis of the other channels such as modern trade, e-com, institutions, so on and so forth. Doing extremely well in all that stuff, and which is what is getting around the brand recall. So there also, if you look at the indirect reach in the other states, is also about 1.8 lakh outlets here.
Right, sir. And secondly, on the raw material inflation front, you have talked about the packaging material and the edible oils. But in terms of our pulses and flour, that part of our basket, what is the trend that you're seeing on inflation, or is it benign as of now?
We have not seen any major price rise in all pulses and flour.
All right, great. So thanks and all the best. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Soham Samanta from Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So just wanted to check on focus market. Last time you called out that Delhi market was not performing well while UP has been doing good. So on a full year basis, how did these two major markets have been doing in the focus market, UP and Delhi? UP.
So UP, if you look at in terms of TAM, so out of six markets, UP is equal to rest of the five, the focus states. So that's the size of price for UP. Delhi is not as big in terms of, I mean, however it is, it has a weight, but not as big the TAM there. In terms of our performance, UP has outperformed, so it's brought in the overall numbers. Whereas Delhi, as we said last time, that has not done well, and we have not invested also behind Delhi as much in this stuff. So Delhi has brought these the growth numbers down only.
So in UP, what kind of growth we're expecting? 20-25% kind of growth or higher than
that? Yeah, so upwards of 20% growth here.
Okay. And if we want to maintain that 15% kind of top line growth, in that case, on product wise, how we are looking like ethnic versus packaged foods? As we mentioned, that Western snacks could be a little bit a higher growth category, I mean 30-40%. But ethnic and packaged foods, how we are looking for next couple of years?
So if you look at the critical element to your question, that is, one is to deliver 15% year on year growth. So one category you cannot choose to ignore is the traditional snack. This is about 70% of our business, so that has to take lead. Followed by the second largest category is sweets, which is about 12.5% of our business. Right? And this is where when we see, you know, when we are on our strat plan, so this is one category where the shift from unorganized to organized is going to happen. So for the category, this growth is going to be, you know, large. And we cannot miss the opportunity, so therefore, this would be second one. Third is Western snacks. Our base is very small, so even 20%, 25% will not add as much value to our overall control growth of that stuff. But yes, Western snacks will continue to grow now in a double digit, 20% plus kind of a growth year on year. Western should do. And this is what we are talking of also, that in next 3 years, currently what it is, 8.5% Western contribution should move to about 11% in say next 3 years.
And so last question from my side, in core markets like Bihar, Assam and Rajasthan, within three markets, what is the most growth driver as of now? Or how do you look each market?
So no, say again, what is the...
So basically, what is the fastest growth driver in, within these three markets?
So, Rajasthan, in fact, is the is our homeland in terms of closest to Bikaner and all that stuff, and is way up. So, put together, Bihar and Assam is equal or less than what the Rajasthan market is. So, the delta what comes, the growth what comes, Rajasthan is the largest. This year, if you look at when we say, when we report number as 4 and 4 delivered 15%, so it's not just one state, it's a holistic performance, wherein all these states have done extremely well, and I think all are inputting the team, what they spread behind these growth, I think this has paid us dividends. The campaigns, what we did, so when we say Bhujia, Oto Bikaji, that was a very straight campaign because we witnessed in first half, that there was a slowdown in Bhujia category per se. So I'm not talking Bikaji, I'm talking of overall Bhujia as a sub category. And we being market leaders, it was our responsibility to spike up this growth, build this category further, and hence these campaigns were done, rolled out, and worked very well for all four states.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Shirish Pardeshi from Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Manoj, Rishabh, thank you for the opportunity. Just 2-3 questions. About 3-4 months before, there was a lot of noise around GST rationalization, unorganized players which exit. There is a lot of momentum which is said that the unorganized player will not be able to compete at 5 rupees, 10 rupees, or maybe compliance burden will happen. So in your experience, given this framework which is now implemented, which are states you have seen this has been beneficiary to us, or is there realistically anything has happened? Because parallelly, we might have got the benefit of 5%, but inflation is also inching up.
So I think very nice question, Kirish. And if you look at what we did, so the family pack there, this is now impacted more in that stuff. So and as our numbers are, I'm sure for other companies also would have done better. In this 5 and 10 rupee play, the regional and local nuances are also very, very high. So it is like, you know, few new players get in and few get weeded off kind of a stuff. So that's what is the phenomena and the trends what we see. But going forward, if you look at, so it will not, and this is what we always have been now calling it out on our call, that the results of the impact would be seen over 2-4 quarters, you will see the impact in this stuff. But certainly this GST regime change would benefit the organized players or the larger players?
But really, is there any trend you are picking up that the national branded players are getting these sales and are organized are tapering down, or it's too early to judge? Because parallelly, again, I'm using the word inflation is inching up.
See, unorganized, when you say so, unorganized, you don't track because you don't get data. It is like, you know, it's a, when you do market visits, you get some sense inside. But yes, if you talk about the local and regional players, so yes, I mean, so this is where certain players, we have seen that the kind of traction what they had is slowed down, is not as much. The kind of trade investments they were doing, it's a little muted stuff. But for their survival, they will certainly do for few quarters at least. So I think the right time, maybe next quarter onwards, and as the year will pass by, you will see those impacts coming in.
Okay, sorry, I'm stretching. Let's pick up a UP as an example. So what happens to Avon, Apricot, Evita? These brands are still existing, but if I check on the ground, they're still growing.
So, see, Evita and Apricot is not a small brand for that reason. I mean, if you look at the kind of players, so in UP itself, there are 200 listed brands there, right? Top 10 brands, if you look at after that, any brand is less than 1% market share. So that's the fragmentation in the UP, though which actually is not a state, it's a country in itself. So that's what it is. Morano, another brand, if you look at on account of its UP sales, it's amongst top 10 players in the country for that stuff. I'm talking of the players which were pure regional and local, like Jain, Popat, Mahesh Namkeen, which is only in the geography of 100 or 150 kilometers, like TK Namkeen in West UP. So those are the ones I'm talking about.
So like of Adarsh and all what you're saying.
Exactly, you got it.
Okay, got it. Second, on slide 10, we have given certain promotions which we ran. Consumer offer, Bikaji campaign, UP campaign with Mr. Tripathi and the other packaging. What? So, on a broader terms, if I split, what are, I mean, tangibly you may not be able to quantify, but in the current era of packaging, or maybe packaged food industry itself is so complex, such kind of measures has brought any benefit to the company in terms of quantitatively? You can say that we got distribution expansion or volume growth, or maybe some percentage of sales would have happened. I mean, just ballpark number.
So, Shirish, you come from an FMCG background, and so whenever a company plans any consumer offer, so this is not just to subsidize sales, it's always now with the objective of that will this give you 20% extra, 30%. This again is on kind of investment you are doing. So for example, Paytm, if you look at it, it just comes at negligible cost to us. So hence, if one was, if my sales team is too planned, so I cannot have very bullish number on this stuff. But yes, certainly delta will come in, and the investment what we do, the kind of focus what we bring in, are the larger or the big ingredients to get a good results out of it, which is in terms of that, you know, the motivation for the team, the posters, retail activation around that, buzz what you create. So there is more power of execution on ground, and which is what gives us data for sure. And the number speaks more louder than what I can speak on this stuff, that you look at what was quarter one or quarter two, and then what is post, so when these campaigns were up on air or was on ground. So this has certainly given this stuff. Any company, when they do these kind of offers, there could be two objectives. One is that if they have seen decline, they say that I want to hold it. And holding on those numbers in itself is a achievement, because then you, the relative is that at what rate they were falling down. And the other is that what growth are they wanting to, the next trajectory you want to go on. So those are the measures what we see, what we track, and basis this will call out for our next promotion in the campaign.
So I understand, Manoj. We both are from the same background. So my worry is that these are all routine activities. We need to do promotion. We need to excite the consumer. But then we are creating a benchmark. So it becomes more challenging that the next promotion has to be better than the previous one. So that's why I was worrying, because we are building a base.
Yeah, so you will see the next campaign will be phase two of it. So certainly we'll not repeat the exact stuff. You will see building. So let's say last year in UP, what we did was that trying to establish Bikaji. Now the part two would be, a different communication, would the challenge statement, identified challenge statement or opportunity, we will try and address with the campaign. So it will not be airing of the same film what we did last year. So that's what is, Turkey, I think you have a very good point, and we work in the same way still. Not to repeat, to build on that.
Alright. My last question, Rishabh. Ariba, THF, can you give us how the momentum is picking up? I mean, you have also given some press release last time saying that we are looking for JV in Nepal. So, in terms of scale up, in terms of our 100% acquisition, path to profitability, something if you can tell?
Yeah. So, from THF to BNL, the last top line was close to 50 crore rupees. This year, they doubled the top line. And what we see that THF will grow at 50-60% year on year for next 3 years at least. They have strong plans. Largely they are focusing on northern part of India, UP, Haryana, Punjab, and they can go towards Bihar in that part. Largely that part they will target on for next 3 years. So from THF plans, this retail investment is going on very well. Alibaba is just a manufacturing capability, and they are just solving our export problem, which we were there before Alibaba, when the wheels were dependent on other vendors, and during their peak time, they are not able to supply. There was always a supply chain issue. And we were seeing that after Alibaba, our export growth is upward of growing at 50-60%. And this year also, this will be the same momentum what we see this year. So Alibaba is largely a manufacturing facility. Of course, profitability is the focus because they cannot see an diluted to us, and that's what we are working on. Currently, they are low utilization. This year, will be close to 55-60% utilization, and that will solve this EBITDA issue also.
Okay. Just last question. On the warehouse, what we were trying to build into the adjacent location,
yeah,
is it fully covered operational?
The trials have started 2 weeks back, 2 weeks back largely. It will start completely in by 15th of June. So by end of this quarter, by next quarter we'll see a benefit in this. And of course we'll see benefit because currently we have space of keeping finished goods less than 2 days. And this warehouse has capacity today to keep storage of around 6 to 8 days. So of course we'll see a momentum, we'll see production running seamless and all. So we'll see momentum in second quarter.
Alright. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
We take the next question from the line of Nitin Gupta from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. My first question pertains to the very first question around people movement from our factory. So when you have highlighted for West Bengal laborers have moved from 20th April to 10th May. So I just wanted to reconfirm how many days of sales got impacted. So that time, answering to that, you had confirmed 4 days. I just wanted to double check on that.
So largely there are two things. One overall few labor movement from Bikaner to Bengal. And there was a loss of a chairman where a factory got closed for 2.5 days. So overall close to 4 to 5 days, 4.5 days loss of production was there in and now around 16-17 from this Monday, all the labors have came back and our production is in full swing. So we'll try to cover this, but yeah, till now the loss is close to 4.5 days.
Okay, so 4 to 5 days, it's more of a scattered impact, not a continuous impact. Okay, it's fine. And second, just wanted to understand how at a consolidated level, how do you see the growth for FY27? And also wanted to sort of understand how we are placed with seed. So was there a capacity constraint? That's where the growth in last 2 years was around 6% CAGR, or any other reasons you wanted to cite for the seeds business slowdown?
So from seeds business, largely, of course, with that more of manual, so capacity was constraining. In seeds, there's different challenge. During festivity, we have capacity constraint, and during non-festivity, we have a very surplus capacity because during festivity we work at 100% utilization. And so we are building a street factory in Bikaner, which will solve this street production issue. And also we are trying to build all season streets, small pack, 5-10 rupee pack in streets and cone parks and everything. So that can be all season and that can improve overall growth of street category. And from street sales largely, our district growth was close to 9% and our target is to be 11-12%. That's the target what we are taking on. And not so on sweets, 11-12% growth, our major focus will be on our ethnic snacks and western snacks.
So thanks for the answer, but the way Manoji has highlighted, like big part of formalization is spending on sweet side. So don't you think we should target higher growth, or is there a genuine sort of a constraint in terms of driving this formalization and the growth?
No, so Nathan, talking on sweet business, if you look at these 4 months, the festive from say Rakhi till Diwali, 80% of our sweet business comes in these 4 months, and then balance 20-25% comes in 8 months. So in these 4 months, we are overutilized. Our output is it exceeds 100%. So overtime and all that stuff starts happening. Whereas in rest of the time, it is very poor utilization. Now that's the dichotomy we are in. If we increase capacity, so which means that in off season time, we will be further underutilizing our capacity for this stuff. So that's the stuff, and which is what we are trying now. That how do we make sweet around the year kind of a category, leveraging on our e-com modern trade stuff, and that's the work which is on. So what Rishabh spoke about is that when we build budget in our annual operating and all that stuff, we have kept sweet as about 12.5% more. However, the working is on that how that we can exceed these numbers, because that's where the opportunity is. Now how soon and how much we explore on that stuff would be on our capability and speed to act.
Thanks for the detailed answer. Now this is very clear. Last question pertains to how we are placed with e-com and particularly quick-com, and any thoughts around quick-com seeing a faster growth convenience channel. So in terms of the portfolio expansion, maybe leveraging the third party, we wanted to do something for the quick commerce to ride on the faster growth rate. Thank you.
So yeah, so e-com certainly as a channel is doing well for the entire FMCG or even other categories as well, and so true for Bikaji. If you look at last year, our e-com contribution to overall business was 2%, which now has moved to 3%. So that's the kind of business shift or the importance this channel is gaining. This channel has delivered about upwards of 75% of growth, whereas against company's growth of far less, 11%, 12%, that's the kind of over-index growth. We are present across all players and have a strong JBP, so the joint business planning for the year, quarter and so forth. So the growth drivers are, of course, one is that inorganic growth, which is that as these accounts are getting into tier 1 to tier 2 and further below. So that's the inorganic growth, how we look at it is. And also what we're doing is that in the increase of number of SKUs range on these platforms. Now, when we speak to e-com platforms or Q-com platforms, what they're saying is that their growth in the metro towns is getting stagnated because they've exploded for what they could. So even they are looking at the out-of-the-box thinking that how do we grow metro, and therefore new categories, premium stuff, so let's say introduction of new sweet sales and all that stuff, which is what would certainly benefit us and these channels as well. This is what it is. So we see a huge growth, continued growth in this channel for us next year as well.
Sure, thanks a lot and all the very best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mahima, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, you are.
Okay, thank you for this opportunity and congratulations for your result. I was asking that as lifestyle changes, are you planning to enter into a healthy snack segment?
Frankly speaking, there's nothing called healthy snack. There could be less unhealthy snacking, right? And in our portfolio also, there's a long list of SKUs which fall in that space. So in terms of futurity, we are, right? And there's a range. But today, if you look at now, the contribution of these categories is by far low. Today, the companies which are surviving is purely on the Qcom platform. You will still see these, the field level products kind of a stuff. But when you speak on the market, this is not true for now. We perhaps are 5-6 years behind time in finish as many years. You will see that these things will start picking up even faster. From our readiness standpoint, yes, we have the entire range with us.
All right. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Utpal Saikia, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hello. Thank you for taking my question. First of all, I'd like to pay my heartfelt tribute to the founder chairman of Sivrat Nagwalji. So, I have actually two short questions. The first one is, as a company is trying to build consumption habit of bhujia and other Indian snacks in the Western countries, so how are the consumers' behavior evolving? Are we seeing a good momentum? And the consumer primarily in the Western market, primarily of the Indian origin, or are we also affecting mainstream Western consumers?
So, is this you're talking from the export standpoint, right?
Hello?
Hello, this question is more from export lens or from domestic? I mean, so if you can clarify, I'll answer accordingly.
No, it is for export oriented.
Yeah, thank you. So, one is that there's huge Indian diaspora, right? So, that is our primary PG, which is what we focus on. And there, if you look at now, the two approach of growing business, one is that you grow category. So, for the category leaders, if we were 50% market share, then our task would be that how do I grow consumption, grow users, right, throughput, occasions of consumption, right? That was if I was major player. When I'm not a major player, then my job is not to build category. There I'm not looking at that how many more people have started eating bhujia there. I will look at that how do I eat share that, I mean, today if they are eating of competition or some other players, other category, how do I get them to my fold? So this is what we are working on for overall Namkeen, what is called the frozen items, because there we are gaining share from the competition, we are not building category. For our bhujia, which is our hero product, and if you look at across players, Bikari, bhujia is number one now in the bhujia segment. That's where we build consumption and our consumers. So your question is not just Indian. What we see when we travel to these places, when we interact with our consumers, you know, there. So there are lots of foreign origin guys as well that who like this snacking. If something is very famous about India is one is tourism and second is food. And India's food is appreciated across. We are taking this food, this snacking stuff to their country. This is gradually shifting. It's not a major shift, but it is not just stuck to Indian diaspora. It is the foreigners as well who consume our product.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Darshit Mora from Asset Steven Mehta Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the follow-up. Am I audible?
Yeah, you are audible.
Yeah. So just wanted to pick your brain on this question. Thanks for the login. Just wanted to understand why do you think the industry's growth is coming low for the Western snack front? And the other part to this question is that if the industry growth is kind of moderated, then lower than Western snacks, then how do we plan to grow higher? Is it distribution expansion or like innovation in products, whatever?
So I'll take your latter question first. See, one is that we have very small share. If you look at it at all India level, at Western Snacks is 1.1% market share. So it's a drop in the ocean. That leads us to the opportunity of disproportionately high growth, you know, theoretically this is one. Now to your first question, when we say relatively, so these growth trends keep, you know, changing. So if it is down, does not mean that it is, the right takeaway would be when you see the declining trend that over last four quarters this is coming down. Then you can extrapolate and come to some conclusions or correlation of that stuff. One quarter in particular leaves us with no, it is just a reference point. So please now consider that as Western Snacks has not done well is a reference point only.
Okay, got it. And secondly, just wanted to clarify on the gross margin front, you said that you are going to maintain margins on the gross margin front. So is it like margins or absolute gross profit you are talking about? Because you took the price increase. You earlier alluded that we will be maintaining gross margins. Do you mean like gross margins or absolute gross profit? Just wanted to clarify that.
The gross margin percentage.
Alright,
thank you. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we take that as the last question and conclude the question and answer session. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you so much for taking time out for the call. It was a good interaction and we tried and answered most of the questions. Still, anyone felt left out, happy to get connected separately or through our relation manager. With this, thank you so much and look forward to connect again.
Thank you. On behalf of Vikashi Foods International Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your line.